the words he brought and their pertinence to the new year. So Luke chapter 3 and verse 1. We're just going to read six verses from Luke chapter 3. The first verse gives us the historical context. Luke is just saying, helps us to realize it's a real event when there were real leaders. Most of them are unpronounceable, so I'll move on to verse 2. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill laid low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. Many of us have enjoyed the results of a new road being laid along the Monash, and we've enjoyed it for several years. But it's over now, isn't it? Largely. Mostly. For a while. For a couple of days. Yeah. Wherever you have the building of new roads, wherever you're looking at improving existing roads, we've seen it, we've been frustrated by it, we've longed for its completion. Vast quantities of earth may need to be moved to fill in the holes, the bits where the road just can't progress smoothly, where the ground is significantly lower. Vast quantities removed to deal with obstructions, where the ground is higher, where stuff gets in the way. If it's too windy, it needs to be straightened out. If it's too bumpy, it needs to be resurfaced. So when it's finished, we can have a smooth, unimpaired journey from A to B. That's the theory, which we sometimes enjoy. And as we look at this coming year, God's looking for a smooth road into our hearts and lives. He wants our Monash Freeway to be sorted out so that he isn't always in heavy traffic trying to get through to our hearts. So he can work within us unimpaired without delay. So he can make real progress in our lives, which is what he delights to do, because then we're set free to be who we were designed to be. It's not a chore. It's a good thing. And I guess all of us need to do some roadworks, whether it's major, whether it's general, whether it's resurfacing, to make that possible. And these few verses are to help do that. Their context is a message of repentance for the forgiveness of sin, preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, making a straight path for him. And with it come four statements. They're prophetic because they speak of what Jesus is coming to do, but they also help us to focus on areas of our lives. So, four ways to welcome the King into 2010. Four ways to make it easy for God to have access into our hearts. Areas where we can all think about our openness, our availability to God being at work by His Spirit. It is what God is doing. The Bible tells us it's what God is doing. It's what Jesus has come to do. And because we know it's what God is doing, we can agree with it and we can cooperate with it. It's always a good plan to cooperate with what God's doing, because then it gets done quicker. And we find ourselves in a place of much more blessing. So the first is, every valley shall be filled in. That's what God wants to do. That's what Jesus comes to do. And if we're going to prepare the way for him, that's what we should be cooperating with. Every valley shall be filled in. Sometimes Jesus doesn't have a smooth road into our hearts because there are valleys. There are huge dips that need to be filled in. And what do I mean by that? I mean that our hearts and our minds end up being taken up with low thoughts of self and low thoughts of God. Those bumps when we don't see ourselves as we really are, when we make God less than he is. We end up being filled with doubt or despair. We feel wretched or useless. We give ourselves over to natural thinking, not spiritual thinking. God doesn't really care, we say. He doesn't really have the power to solve my problems. I'm no use to him. He can't forgive my sins because they're too many or they're too much. Now, we might not admit to thinking this way, but it ends up taking us over at times. It ends up becoming a habit or a pattern. Our hearts and our minds have drifted away from heaven, and we've become earthbound in our thinking. The valleys and the holes need to be filled in. What material does God use to fill in valleys and holes? Well, two of his core materials are grace and faith. They're very, very good at filling in holes, grace and faith are. Grace, as we focus on what Jesus has done for us, the depth of his love, the totality of his forgiveness. To say that we are beyond something that God desires to do, whether it's love, whether it's forgiveness, whether it's power, is just what the enemy wants us thinking. It's a key strategy for him. That we begin to think of ourselves as somehow separate, somehow beyond. It's also contrary to the whole thrust of the gospel. Grace. And faith, as we stop making ourselves the main subject. Because when it goes wrong, that's what we do. We look at our circumstances, we look at our weakness, we look at our failings. And the more we look at that, the worse we feel. We can do that, or we can look at God's strength and God's promises and God's faithfulness and God's power and keep going back to them as our reference point. I'm not talking about denial. I'm not talking about pretending that things are great when they're not. But I am talking about going back to our reference point of who God is, his grace, his love. And as we look to take God at his word this year, we will catch a clearer glimpse of him as we lose sight of ourselves, as we become less of a focus for us. Now, some of us have been dogged by negativism through 2009, and sometimes it's paralyzed us. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. It's made us inactive. We need to let God's grace and our faith in him fill in those valleys as we take God as his word. No work is too hard for him. No sin is too difficult or too great for him to forgive. As we set our hearts to focus on him, on his greatness and mercy and love, as we lose sight of ourselves, that's the first step in that smooth road. So this is much more of a reflection than it is teaching this morning. And in that reflection, the first question is, so what are the holes in your life where you need to make choices about filling in that cooperates with what God's going to do? The second thing that God wants to do and Jesus comes to do and we cooperate with, every mountain and hill laid low, made low. Every mountain and hill laid low. And the second area that impedes smooth progress isn't low thoughts of self. It's quite the opposite. It's the hills and the mountains of pride or self-sufficiency or self-righteousness. Now, they're big words, and all of us know that we shouldn't be like it, and so most of us pretend that we're not. And that's one of the great ways that Christians work. I know I shouldn't feel that, and so I don't. Have you forgiven them? Well, of course I have, because you have to forgive people. And that's one of the ways that Christians get caught, because we know what is right, and so we end up saying, because I know that that's the right behavior, then that's the behavior I obviously have to do, and that's the behavior I have done. But we can end up raising ourselves in a way that brings God lower in our thinking. Now, if you're asked, are you proud and self-sufficient? Most people would say, no, of course not. But we can tell a lot by the way we respond to people and situations. Here's just a few little questions. How long does it take before you can admit that you have a need for help, either from God or for others? How long does it take? Do we wait until we're absolutely desperate before we will ask for help? Well, that's pride. Do we find ourselves despising or mocking inside other people for their failures, their weakness? Do we find ourselves thinking that we're so glad that we're not like them? Do we find ourselves becoming impatient and intolerant of others? Impatient and intolerant of faults that we don't struggle with. Well, that's self-righteousness. Do you get the idea? I'm just giving you a few hints so you can fill in the gaps for yourself. And I'll do my stuff and you'll do yours. So it's not comparative. You'll always be able to find people who appear to be worse than you, so don't do that. It's not helpful. You just deal with your stuff. God hates pride. The Bible says that he visits the humble and the lowly and the contrite. And maybe we need to ask the Holy Spirit's help to do some leveling as we confess pride, self-sufficiency, self-righteousness. As we stop saying when it comes to God's dealing with us, I'll do it my way, I'll do it in my time, I'll do it at my pace, I'll do it at my convenience. And we say, I'll choose your time, whether it's convenient or not. I'll choose your way, whether I fully understand it or not. I'll choose your pace, whether I find it a little bit uncomfortable or not. As we acknowledge our real need of God, our dependence on him, our lostness without him, as we look to love others and help them, not simply judge them, as we choose to be helped and loved by others instead of believing that we don't need them or anyone. So if we've been hindered by pride, by self-sufficiency this year, if we have been too big and God has been too small, the second step in that smooth road is to level out those mountains and hills. What's the third thing? The crooked roads shall become straight. Now in Australia, you weren't blessed as the English were by an invasion of the Romans. It was just a bit too far for them to come. But Romans had a great idea about roads, and that was like you made them straight and level, and that was the end of it. And anything that got in the way, you got it out of the way. And they were able to use the willing British as a workforce. And so very often when you see a very long straight road in the UK, it's a Roman road. Now, that was jolly hard work in the first place. But the benefits have lasted for centuries and centuries and centuries. There may well be some curves in our road that slow down the Saviour's progress, to do with divided hearts, to do with double-mindedness, to do with half-heartedness, to do with wavering or changing our minds or saying one thing and doing another, to do with good intentions but not following through. So we're turned towards God, but with half an eye on sin. We're turned towards the spiritual, but with half an eye on the material. We are covering our bases. We're all for God, but if that fails, there's a little bit left over. We fear God enough so that we can't enjoy sin, but we love sin too much to give ourselves completely to God. And that's a really miserable place to be. We need to pray as the psalmist does. Give me an undivided heart as we face up to any duplicity and we look for honesty and integrity with God and with others, as we ask for faith and strength to set our faces like flint, to set our eyes on the prize, to be single-minded, to be wholeheartedly devoted to God. The third step is straightening out the curves of half-heartedness. So we're going straight down the road, the straight road of an undivided heart. Now, there are only four things. I'm already on the fourth, so this is pretty quick, isn't it? And Lydia is right. You'd be right to be afraid. If it's been quick, you know there's more coming, don't you? Yeah. The rough ways shall be made smooth. For some years, Joe's mom and dad lived in Keswick, which is a very, very beautiful place in the Lake District in England. We would travel there mostly along the motorway, and the very last bit was the bumpiest because it was along a private section of road where there are a whole bunch of houses, so the road was, if you like, owned by the houses, and they'd never really come to any agreement about who was going to pay for the bumps to be filled in, or if they ever would be filled in, so they never were. And so that last bit, we get there, and then we go really, really slowly as we went up and down the bumps. Same bumps every year, same bumps, never filled in. Continually slowed down the progress in the last bit. That's when you want to really get there as well, when you're almost there. That's when the suspension is in the most danger. And God's access into our lives and our progress with Him often gets slowed down by those habitual sins and failures. In the 19th century, they used to use the word besetting sins. That stuff you just go, oh, here we are again. We go down the same road time after time. We always complain about the bumpy road, but we never get round to filling the stuff in. We never get round to doing anything about it. And even now, my guess is that having used that description, you'll know what that means for you. You'll have a little hint in your mind about what that means. Those areas where you just feel like you blow it every time. Whether it's attitudes or thoughts or actions, but they seem to have a hold. Do we want to deal with it? Yeah. How much? Don't know. Maybe this year it's time for some resurfacing, asking God's help, asking for forgiveness, asking for the Spirit's power, asking others' help with accountability, praying with, praying for, someone to share with, someone to encourage you, someone to challenge you. Or will it be another year of going over the same old bumps and then moaning about the state of the road? About blaming our circumstances or blaming other people or blaming God or blaming the church. But it's a private road, and our bumps and other people's bumps affect us, don't they? And I guess all we can do is fill in our section. So the fourth step is, with God's help, doing some resurfacing. Smoothing out the bumps. Allowing a smooth, straight road for God into our hearts. Now, as I've been preparing, obviously God in his love and grace, isn't going to let me preach this and get away with it. So for me, that means I have to ask all of these questions before I ask them of you. And for me, it's reading through the journals from last year, comparing it with the ones from the year before, seeing where there might be some of the same old bumps, seeing where there are, applying all of this stuff to myself. And you might want to use this simply as a reflection as you go into the new year, as a reflection that God and his love and his power can use. Because he goes on to say, and all mankind will see God's salvation. So there's a connection between what happens in our lives and the effects beyond. You see, we're talking about much more than our new year. What we do has a huge effect on those around us. The witness of change and changing lives, the witness of godly lives, the joy and the power and the fulfillment that brings in us and moves out to others. It'll rub off as we rub shoulders. God will be able to work unimpeded in our lives, in our church, and we'll be able to move into that we ain't seen nothing yet phase. The decisions we make today will affect more lives than we'll ever know. And as we enter into this process, as we make these choices, the fantastic thing is that then God will do it because of Jesus in the power of the Spirit. God will put the weight of his power and the sureness of his love beyond, he will put that power behind our decisions in a way that brings them about. A little bit like if you're watching the rugby and you watch a little, maybe scrum half, pick up the ball and the pack gets behind him and they carry him over the line. There's all of that weight and power of those huge guys and this little guy is carried over the line and he puts the ball down. And that little guy wants to see the pack behind him before he picks up the ball. And who can blame him? But those guys, who don't run quite so fast, they want to see him pick up the ball before they get behind him. And there's a sense in which God says to us, pick up the ball, and I'll put the full weight, the pack, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit behind you. And we go, you do it, and then I'll pick up the ball. It doesn't work that way. It's never going to work that way. So your question is this morning, will you pick up the ball? The pack of Holy Spirit and Father and Son, you can guarantee they'll get behind you. Don't worry about that. Will you pick up the ball? We're going to share in communion now. And there's a sense in which all of this is a preparation for communion. Because we're thinking about grace and we're thinking about faith. We're remembering the time when Jesus broke bread. He gave thanks and he spoke of it being his body which was given for us. We're remembering the time when he took wine and he spoke of it as being the blood of the new covenant shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. So what we're looking at is as John spoke prophetically, this is the way that Jesus did it. This is what Jesus did so that when we make the road straight, when we make the road straight, he enters into that process with his forgiveness, with his resurrection power, with his grace, with his love. And so it becomes so. The things that we prepare in our hearts, God makes happen. The price is paid for us. We remember what Jesus did. We enter into what he bought for us. We lay hold of and grab hold of the resurrection power that's now released into our lives. Now it's a practice to just eat and drink together, which we're going to do in a short time. And when we do, we simply ask that if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Lord, that wherever you come from, you are welcome to join with us. But if you know that's not true for you, then this is something that the Bible set aside as being especially for believers. And so we'd simply ask that you don't eat the bread or the wine, but we'd love to share with you and for you to stay with us. We don't want you to feel uncomfortable, but we want you to have integrity. And if you're with your family, we leave it to you to make decisions about whether it's appropriate for your children or not. We'll just trust you to make those judgments. And in a short while, Kel and the band will come and they'll help us in our worship as we share together. But I just want to take a few moments for us to think as we come to the time of communion, then we'll pray about those four things. I'm going to ask right now that we just we pray. I'm just going to ask now that as God has spoken, that you bring the valleys to him as you pray. If there are any valleys that you're aware of where you need help and strength, where you need to see yourself differently, where you need to see God differently, and ask right now that you will reach out for grace and that you will reach out in faith. Ask that you bring the mountains to him. You'll acknowledge your need of him and your need of the body of Christ. That we need each other, that we're not designed to work on our own, and reach out for help and reach out to serve. And bring the crooked roads to him. Acknowledge where there's apathy or cold-heartedness or half-heartedness, and reach out wholeheartedly. Reach out with a true passion for God's passion. And bring the rough ways to him. Bring those habitual sins, failings, actions and thoughts and words and attitudes, and reach out for forgiveness. Reach out for fresh power. Reach out for new hope. And believe the truth of God's word, that his divine power has given us all we need for life and godliness. That we are not destined to fail and fall for the rest of our life. Those are the lies the enemy puts in. But that we are given the power to live holy lives. And then let's look to see our salvation being worked out in changed and changing lives and impacting the lives around us. The all mankind that we come in contact with being changed because they encounter God in us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you for your love, for your goodness. And we're so grateful that you have the power to change things. And we ask now that as we bring our lives to you, in thankfulness for all that you've done, in recognition of its significance, that as we take the bread and the wine together, that you will be at work in us as individuals and us as a body, and that you will be bringing those straight and level roads that are a highway for the King of Kings to walk into our hearts and for us to take and share of what we've been given. And we ask, Lord, as we reflect on these things through the coming days, that you'll use your word to set our hearts on fire and to enable us to become the people that we were truly designed to be. In Jesus' name. Amen.